Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
All right, gearheads, welcome to the show. Just watched the Formula One Japanese Grand Prix. Valtteri Bottas wins the race. This is John Massengill sitting in studio with Jonathan Green, Les Kaiser. What do you think, boys?
Deserved win by Bottas.
Yeah.
All weekend, he was faster than Hamilton. What a start. Ferrari, I told you they could shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah. But where would have Leclerc come in had that first lap incident not come through?
Well, yeah.
What ifs?
But I'm sorry. Let's go straight to the heart of it then. Why? Again, Formula One shooting themselves in the foot. Why? It's so obvious. He drove into Verstappen.
Yeah.
He damaged his car. He then argued with his team again. But so that's okay. He was probably a bit hot-headed. They put it under investigation. Then they say no action, and then they say, I'll tell you what, we'll tell you next week.
Yeah, that part.
Let's see if that happens in one of the NFL games tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right.
Sorry, we're not going to tell you who won the game. You know, that part of Formula One, I don't get it. I'm sorry. You just need to say, you need to make a call.
Make a decision, right
or wrong.
Especially,
that wasn't that hard.
No.
It wasn't that complex. Admittedly, I'm not saying it was clearly one way or the other. If I had to say,
he understood he was behind his teammate, who wasn't particularly fast off the line. He was quicker than his teammate.
Right.
He was behind Vettel. He pulled to the left because he could see he could possibly get past, because that's what you're trying to do. But he didn't look, and Verstappen was there, and he hit him.
So why
is the confusion?
Right. Why is this?
And consider that there's all this technology. There's GPS. There's telemetry from the cars. There's all this stuff that they could put together this case.
The slow-mo replays.
Yeah. We got 14 cameras, you know, all watching this.
I mean,
it should be able to be answered
pretty
quick.
If you don't agree with me, call.
Yeah.
I'm willing.
What's the number I need to call?
Yeah, you need to call 512-643-5483. No, I mean, I'm willing to take a back seat to anybody who wants to argue differently than that, but I really don't see it any other way.
Well, I'm not even arguing which way it should have gone. I just want a call during the race.
I agree. That's actually the more important thing.
After the race. I mean, that is honestly, that's
and none of
what really
our good mates, Tom Christensen, this time involved, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I just think it's absurd that we're sitting here going, we don't really know what happened.
Let's ask Gene.
Do it live. Yeah, stop this. That's crazy.
And also, I don't know whether you were listening to, what Jolyon Palmer was saying and Jack Nicklaus about the team thing. I am getting to the point where I know Formula One has been a team sport for a long time, and that's part of
two-car
team sport. But it is contrived to watch these guys basically arguing about who gets the advantage.
It's my turn.
Exactly. I mean, I said at the start that it would be a hard strategy call. What I didn't realize or hadn't given thought to, and nor had anybody else, was how green the track was and how the tires would not run as they expected. That was the whole key to this race.
Well,
caught everybody off guard. Mm-hmm. But then we have this huge argument about who should be stopping and why did you put me on the mediums and, I'm going to throw me toys out.
Okay, so what's Waldo to do now?
Yeah.
What's he going to do? He's got two great drivers. Leclerc's coming up. When things are in Leclerc's court, he is winning.
And Waldo? You mean Binotto?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, he just has those glasses.
What does he do? I'll tell you what he does. He does what bloody Bill Belichick does every Sunday. He manages.
Okay, but what do you do in that situation? During the race, you're there watching. What are you going to do?
I mean, you don't have an argument with your driver for 20 minutes in front of 500 million people.
So Leclerc, I have a problem with what Leclerc did today. First of all, I mean, okay, so Ferrari should be managing them better. They should say, it should be very clear that if we're telling you something on the radio, we're well thought out And Leclerc should not be saying, why? Why do I need to stop? Well, because your front left part of your wing is about to fly off and hit somebody in the head.
Or hit Hamilton's wing rather than his head.
That's what I'm saying, thankfully. Is that that could have been, what if that had gone a different way?
Yep.
And he's sitting there arguing, I need to go stay out. I need to stay out. So, yeah, that's, you know, I've been a big fan of Leclerc all season.
Oh, me too. Me too. I agree. You've got to have trust in your team.
Should they have black flagged him?
Quite honestly, black flag with the disc.
Yeah, that would have been an.
You, we'll let you back in. It wasn't an absolute black flag. I mean, the black flag with the disc would have been good.
To be fair to Leclerc, he did quite rightly point out that he was still able to go fast, and he told the team the car feels better than it looks. He said that on the radio.
Yeah, but it comes back to what you're saying, that Leclerc should have clear orders. They're not clear. He should, if they're telling him to stop, he should have the confidence in his leadership to say, okay, I trust these guys, I'm going to stop. But he doesn't. Clearly he doesn't.
It's a very hard sport in that respect, because it's like hey, we've all sat in the passenger seat of a car, and you know, hey, I'm driving. You want to drive? How many times have you said that? You want to drive? Because you know, it's all very well taking direction. You're driving the car, and it's up to you to make the win happen or not happen. And I get that, but there's got to be a better man management, and Toto Wolff does a much better job,
but,
I think.
Yeah, that's
sure. But how do you keep a 21-year-old who has just taken 4 poles in check? That's an ego. That's immaturity.
And how do you take a 4-time world champion who is basically getting his ass handed to him week in, week out, and wants to save reputation at the greatest track that he's had over the years? He's probably the most popular driver in Japan, Vettel. And yet he's got the pole position, and how do you tell him he can't, you know, do what he's doing? I know.
That's
true.
It's a tough one.
Oh, don't get
there.
Me wrong. I'm not saying it's an easy job, and you have got 2 quarterbacks, effectively. They are. In that respect, you've got the most valuable players in the seat, in the car, and without them, you cannot win the race. It's as simple as that. So you've got to give them their intellectual head. You've got to give them their psychological head, but you've got to manage it too.
Yeah, well, why couldn't they just say, hey, you've got a piece of the car about to fall off. You've got to pit right now.
It's a flesh wound. Come on, Governor. I can keep going. It's only a wing.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think Arrivabene would have stated it out.
Arrivederci, he's gone.
Yeah, exactly. Now I think somebody might be rethinking
his wings
that.
Fell off a long time ago.
But Arrivabene would have called that out. I think he would have stated it differently. And long before today's race, he would have had that respect, which I believe he had it by his drivers.
All right, well, let's hear what a caller has to say. By the way, if you want to call, 512-643-5483, we want your opinion on this, America. And we've got a regular on the phone. We got Andy P. Hey, Andy, what'd you think of the race, man?
I'll tell you, I'm a little bit fired up at Mr. Leclerc.
Yeah!
Okay, let's hear it.
I could not believe, I mean, I have a lot of tremendous respect for that guy's talent. He's probably going to be the next one along with Verstappen. But what he did today kind of showed a bit of a, I hate to say it, but a bit of a red ass.
There you go.
Well, do you think, go ahead. Explain what you're saying.
Okay. So he punches Verstappen right in the side of his car.
Yep.
Okay, the stewards can let that go. That's fine. The parts that bothered me were the 3 laps after that, where he's spewing debris all over the track. At Hamilton's head. Now, here's where my McLaren fandom comes in. Part of that debris goes into Lando Norris's brake duct and ruins his race.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a good point. That's what caused the fire, was it?
Yeah, exactly. Because the pit guy has to go in and then remove it. It was a long tire stop. He comes out in P20. I mean, he had a great recovery drive to even get all the way to P12, but it was irrelevant at that point because of Leclerc's action.
Why didn't they black flag him?
That's a great question. I wish I knew that. That's what I was calling for it on Twitter. I'm like, at least the black flag with an orange disc to tell him, look, there's something obviously wrong with your car that you have to go fix. And that's why you have that flag. I'm shocked they didn't pull that.
Yeah, that was blatantly obvious, an obvious call for that because of the debris coming off. Yeah, you're right, Andy. That should have happened.
And Andy, what's your take? How many American sports would live with, hey, we'll tell you Tuesday what decision we're making on that?
Oh, the stewards doing the literally a do-si-do around, well, we don't think it's an investigation. Oh, now
we do.
And now we're going to look at it after the race. That makes no sense. You're
it's
gonna
like
wake
they go
up
on
tomorrow.
Twitter and get an estimate.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to wake up tomorrow. You're going to watch a replay of the race. And maybe if you're a savvy fan, might find out the final order.
And I'll tell you what's stupid about it. It doesn't matter because Leclerc was six. But what if it was for the win? I mean, it just makes the sport ridiculous.
We had that earlier in the year, remember? We went, 6-7 hours?
Yeah.
Or at least 4 or 5 hours anyway. It was a long time.
Well, and there was the argument in Montreal over that crowd. So anyway, I agree. The call needs to be made instantly or nearly instantly.
And if it's wrong, so be it.
Within a couple of laps.
NFL gets it wrong. I mean,
basketball,
And Andy, what I was saying about this is we've got 14 cameras, 178 sensors.
Yeah.
You know, for everything from where his big toe was pointed on. And why can't we use a little bit of that telemetry and data and imagery?
Yeah. You managed to.
And knock out a decision in 5 laps or what?
Yeah,
done.
And they managed to remove all of the TV equipment while a typhoon hit and then put all of it back again and managed to plug it all in so it all worked.
Hey, guys.
To use a soccer term, you've got your VAR literally on site. All you have to do is use it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
Hey, you know what, guys? The other thing is comes from today is that we've had another exciting race again.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a perfect race by far. But it was another exciting race in Formula One. We got to be excited about that.
Hey, I was happy. And, you know, okay, no, I don't wish a typhoon on anybody in the world. But the difference between what we saw in FP1 and 2 compared to the race itself and qualifying, as far as the tire deg, changed everything.
Yeah, that was.
That changed everything. Andy P., what about restricting the tires more so going into 2020? How do you feel about something like that?
Well, it was interesting with this race simply because you had the random factor of the teams not having their normal protocol.
Right.
You can probably restrict it, but the thing of it is they're just going to create a new protocol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately. I mean, unless you go at it with maybe like one practice and then boom, you're qualifying. And that's something you might want to consider doing, you know, maybe restrict the weekend to a Saturday, Sunday type thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that any of the fans had a problem with it being condensed into 2 days as opposed to three. So that's definitely something I'd consider moving forward.
I'll tell you another thing I want to mention now you're on the line, because I know that you're a huge McLaren fan. What a season for McLaren. Carlos Sainz, and for me, driver of the year, Lando Norris, but also the McLaren team. What a change of fortunes. And that car looks like a bullet these days. I mean, I was watching some of the qualifying footage from Lando Norris, and man, that thing's planted.
They really did look great all weekend, and this was always a bogey track for them.
Yeah.
So the fact is that now they're starting to solve the problems that have been fundamental to them for the last few years. They may be the one team, and I'm sitting here and I'm hoping that it's the case that may bridge the gap to the big three, and we may have a big four in the next couple of years. I'm hoping it's going to happen.
I think you're right, actually, and I do think that getting the Mercedes engine won't do them any harm either.
Absolutely.
Hmm. Yeah, and if anybody could do this, guys, I mean, it's McLaren, you would think so.
Yep.
Well, Andy, thank you so much for calling in, staying up with us, and calling in. We really appreciate it as usual.
All right. You guys have a good one, and happy morning.
Yeah, happy morning. Yes. We'll look forward to Mexico.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy. Talk to you soon.
Good. Yep.
All right, guys, let's go ahead.
We're not imagining us. I sort of think I'm just going off half cocked.
I know.
No, I think everybody.
A little sanity check outside the studio is good. I like that. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a quick break. You listen to Speed City in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company, born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Hey, guys.
Good old Gunter.
Les.
Yeah,
I got a serious note.
I heard
note.
That one.
A serious note. We've been talking about the storm, the typhoon.
Sure.
I just saw a story that says 19 dead as Japan launches a major rescue. So this was a pretty serious storm. I mean, and honestly, that's early too, so you don't know what that number could be later on. But I mean, I know it's our sport in the middle of this, but yeah, there's a lot of people affected by that. So
we've got our own weather this end of the world too. I know.
Let's go back to the race. Jonathan, you had a point about Mr. Verstappen.
Yeah, because you know, let's not forget, Leclerc and Verstappen are fighting for third overall in the championship, and now. Currently, the gap is 223 to Leclerc and 212 to Verstappen, and Vettel now on 212 as well. And you've got to feel Verstappen, you know, has been robbed today. And, you know, these are important points. And, you know, I've got no question in my mind that Leclerc took him out.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I mean, I'd love to have seen Leclerc go on to glory. In a lot of ways, but it's, you know.
You mean maliciously or
no.
Do you mean out of an accident?
No, not maliciously, no. But, you know, when Andy P said it, you know, he took Verstappen out of the race. He then marauded on and threw debris everywhere, taking out Hamilton's wing, which could have been worse. Because you don't know. Great. We've got the halo now.
He made Hamilton's car faster, though. Yeah. Took out the mirror.
That's it. Yeah.
New engineering approach.
Yeah, but he likes to look at himself, so.
I wish he'd look at himself and check out that hairstyle.
I know. It's a bit of a worry, isn't it? It's a bit of a worry.
It's the 2 a.m.
But then as he points out that McLaren, you know, that was their day done when Norris was looking good.
Yeah. You know what? Let's go back to the start of the race. We all saw it, and everybody was going, "Oh, look at that start by Valtteri Bottas!" And I was like, "Wait a minute, there's more to that."
He
had a sphincter moment, didn't he?
Well,
Colin Edwards,
Vettel had the sphincter shuffler moment.
He did, didn't he?
I mean, because it was weird. It was such a quick false start. That wasn't technically because he didn't. He stopped. He started, then stopped, and then started. Breaking the beam.
He stayed within the box.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, to explain the rules, if you move at the start of a race, it is within the rules that as long as you stop and then restart without going forward past your box, then you are able to get away with it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he did. So
that box delineates where you need to start your race
yeah.
from.
There is movement in that. Within
they've
that
got race. Exactly. They've got movement within that. So if he were to move forward, as long as he was still when the lights turned green, it doesn't matter. And that was where the confusion was. They replayed that video shot, and you could see that his tires were still in the box.
Yep.
Lights went out, and there we go.
Yeah. And
my lights almost went out there when I'm like yawn. Sorry about that, boys.
Yeah.
But you know what? After that, I think Vettel had a pretty good race, and I think he only made one little mistake. And, you know, at the very end when Hamilton was catching him and was obviously on way faster tires, I think Vettel was saved by the traffic ahead of him because he got DRS, but he had that one little lockup. But other than that, he had a pretty good race.
To be honest, his qualifying lap was sublime. Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
He made that. Jenny Gao is very good. She described how nervous Vettel looked. He was kind of playing with his lucky coin and redoing his shoelaces. It's always a sign, you know. And I think he did mess up the start because he was nervous. And that's why Bottas got, obviously, that's why Bottas got by. But yeah, the last 10, 15 laps was superb to hold off Hamilton. That's no mean feat.
Yeah,
I agree. The one thing I was glad to see is that he didn't pull a big blunder as we've seen him so many times this season. That he didn't just totally sabotage the situation.
And let's sort of take that last 15 laps in context and say, hey, Ferrari finally do have a package that in a straight line and that track kind of showed it, is that there wasn't a lot of places to overtake. Hamilton could only catch up on under braking, and then the Ferrari would take off again. And so it really is a real cat and mouse now between these two teams, and I think it won't be long, as Andy P said, before both McLaren and Honda, Red Bull, are right there.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it was excellent. I mean, you know, we heard the Jaws music playing in the run with Hamilton knocking out a second per lap until he got right up in, you know, on the tail of Seb. That, like I said, I mean, I'll just say it again. I was really pleased to see Seb stay collected, stay in the game, not do something screwy that took him out of contention.
And these are career-changing weeks for Vettel, because he's got another year on his contract, but already everybody's saying, is he going to stay at Ferrari, et cetera, et cetera.
Is he going to check out?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, he's been beaten by Leclerc in the last four rounds. That's the first time he's beaten him to pole this season.
Yeah, and you talked about a minute ago, you were saying how, you know, Ferrari's catching Mercedes. Let's be clear, that's not for this season, because Mercedes has secured the Constructors' Championship, the sixth consecutive, which is matching Ferrari's record from 99 to 2004. But it also became a mathematical certainty that either Bottas or Hamilton will be crowned the Drivers' Championship, ensuring the team's sixth straight double championship, a new record.
Yeah. You know what? I was thinking at the end, and I wrote it down as a little note, which is just think who will be kind of probably watching that race and smiling to himself as Mr. Schumacher, because Michael obviously was the man who ran that Ferrari run to history. But look back in history, when Mercedes were starting out and they could do nothing right, you know, Michael was the instigator of the beginnings of this Mercedes, you know, team. So
yeah, that's right.
Back out of retirement to help Mercedes, who he started with in sports cars with Ross Brawn, and so just a mention for Michael. I do think, you know, you got to remember where these things come from, and all of this last 6 years, you know, that time that he put in with the team. And many other drivers too. But, you know, obviously Michael was a big factor.
Yeah. There's some other good stories in the race. Daniel Ricciardo was, qualifying way down in, 16th?
Yep.
And ended up, 9th?
What was interesting is that he asked Cyril, his team manager, to get past Hülkenberg. And he said, "Give me a chance, and I'll get past him." And he got past Hülkenberg. I think he was 9th or 10th at the time, and he then overtook three guys, you know, within laps.
Yeah,
brilliant.
I love the fact that Hamilton What I know what the thing is, what about all the Hamilton radio and all of that going on right in the middle of the race? I wish we had some of those clips from team radio, because that was really fascinating.
Well,
all that.
Well, like I said at the beginning, I think one of the things that caught everybody out was the tire dag. Because of the, and Jenny Gabb pointed it out, which was the track was cleaner and it also been washed clean by the amount of rain that had hit the track over the 24 hours.
No running on Saturday. A typhoon.
So the idea was, as we saw at the beginning, for it all to be a one stop. And then suddenly we realized that you can't. And actually, the medium tires were, you know, degrading so quickly. That everybody had to change strategy, and it really led to a confusion by Hamilton, who thought he kind of got a raw deal. But it was just that was the strategy. It was interesting because there was a lot of that going on with people not understanding why they were losing. I mean, at one point, I think Vettel was losing a second a lap on one set of tires.
Well, and Toto explained it and very briefly to Ham that we don't like what we're seeing in the hard tires on the other cars.
Yeah.
And that's why it is. Well, I mean, like I said, that's another sense of trust. Hamilton should have taken it from them. As I said, they've got, you know, hundreds of people back in the factory chasing data and all of that kind of thing. I find it interesting that these drivers are having such involved conversations with the perch.
Yeah. It seems more so recently. Lately, doesn't it?
Yeah, I agree.
Which there's more data than ever before, more Amazon processing power than ever before, all of that, and these guys are now questioning it even more so. I kind of wonder if they're not trying to show that they're thinking themselves, they're, you know, what have you. I do like the idea that they are at least acting more engaged in it.
Hey, speaking of Amazon, you're talking about their sponsorship and the data they provide with Formula One, but I love the new graphics that they've used today that show the tire deg.
Lots of nice info, yeah.
But what I didn't like about it, I love it, but they needed to be accurate because they came on the screen and they said Hamilton's tires, all four had 70%. They only used 30%, right? And then immediately Hamilton comes on the radio and says, my tires are going off, and they pitted him. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Hang on a minute. Are they working or are they not working?
Well, so, we talked about that as we watched it. And I'm curious if they hadn't overheated those tires. You know, they talk about the temperature cycles, you know, cause the lifespan to decrease. Well, it may not necessarily cause the circumference of that tire, which I think is how they are measuring that 70%.
I don't necessarily think the graphics inaccurate, but I don't think it tells you the story you need to know.
Well, you would think that they're going to take into all account all the factors, like you were saying during the race, Les. You were saying, you know, they're going to not only measure temperature, but they're going to look at the rotation of the tire, in other words, to tell if it's been locked up, all the different factors. You think they'd have all that data and they could get it more accurate than being completely wrong. But I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. Call us up. Tell me what you think. 512-643.
Where's our tire engineers?
512-643-5483.
They're coming in 3 weeks.
There you go. And I am on schedule with Pirelli. So
all right, guys, we got to take a break. Let's go ahead and get that behind us, and we'll be back with more Japanese Grand Prix post race after this message.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to circlebrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
You've heard it all before. Save your hard-earned money for a rainy day. But what if you had an extra $1,000 laying around to buy that irresistible infomercial product you came across at 2 a.m.?
Well, I am running a little low on Flex Glue.
It's the Big Cash Bribe on Talk 1370.
I also need a shake weight, Snuggie.
Don't forget some pet eggs!
Listen every hour weekdays between 9 and 5 for your chance to win $1,000 with Talk 1370. This is a national contest.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Man, that just brings a smile to my face when I hear Mario Andretti bringing us back.
It
doesn't get any better than that.
He won in Japan.
He did.
Yeah, he did. That was a key race for him.
All right, boys. We're still talking about the Japanese Grand Prix, but I just got to talk about Austin.
I got to say hello to Brad in Northern Iowa. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Hamilton and Kimmy are good radio listens. Max, good if every other word is a bleep.
Yeah.
He's definitely entertaining,
Brad. Welcome to Kimmy's
thanks
world.
Thanks for joining us.
We love him. He's good value.
Yeah, thanks for listening up there. And 3 weeks from today is the United States Grand Prix right here in our little town of Austin, Texas.
What day is that?
November 3rd.
I work that day.
That is such... You play that joke every year.
Dad humor.
Definitely dad humor. Hey, I just want to talk about that week here in Austin because we are going to have an event here in Austin. We're going to have an esports event, basically. Young drivers from the United States F4 series are going to join us at a cool new...
Possibly, F3 as well.
Yeah, okay. At this cool new place in downtown Austin, it's an esports lounge. It's lined with all these super high-end PCs and consoles and everything.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So, yeah, just follow our social...
Even if you're not
website.
Into gaming, it is a cool scene to see this going on.
Yeah.
I am not a gamer, I readily admit, but it is very cool layout.
By the way, did you spot a story today in the racing news this week that NASCAR was showing their eSport event on TV on NBC?
Huh.
Oh,
well,
that's nice.
I mean, look, guys.
What I'm getting at is that, you know, times are changing.
Oh, you know, we all look at YouTube video counts and all that stuff. When you look at our little insulated world of Formula One and IndyCar and all the others, you look at it and you go, oh, that's got, you know, 300,000 views. Well, my son's a gamer, and I look at, like, he'll say, yeah, there's new game that came out today. Here's this brand new video reviewing it, and it's got, like, 1.5 million views, and it's been out for an hour or something. Mm-hmm. That's probably an exaggeration.
Sure.
But the gaming community is massive, and Formula One has put a huge effort behind it. They've put out some of the largest purses for guys to win. I mean, in an off week, when they're not racing, their social media is full of esports.
But I just thought it was interesting. It's the NASCAR Peak Andy Freeze iRacing Series finale live on NBCSN. So we're now getting a crossover between a major, you know, the Olympics broadcaster, NBCSN, and a huge, you know, they don't have a lot of spare time. It's not like they're not a small TV station. This is the big time, and they're showing an iRace.
Well, and one of the things that I've noticed is I'm not the only old guy that is looking in to see this. I've had other people mention about these younger drivers that they're seeing, and it's in esports. Are they really taking this seriously? My gosh, look at the money behind them. Look at what they're doing. As you said, the networks, look who's covering this now.
Well, this is why I'm interested in what we're putting on, because the crossover is really interesting, because these gamers are avid gamers, obviously, but the drivers themselves use these simulators as part of their training. And in fact, especially in Formula 4, when they have some gaps of like 4 weeks off, They don't have time. I mean, imagine if you say, okay, guys, we'll go and hire a track. We'll go and hire the Circuit of the Americas for a couple of days. And, you know, we'll do some practice because we've got a race in 3 weeks. You're going to get on a simulator and you're going to go round and round and round. And that's what the Formula One guys do. And, you know, this is a big part of this industry now. And
well, you know, guys, that's with the day off we had this weekend with the storm coming in. That's the way a lot of the guys
that's
spent
what they
their
did.
Time.
Yep. Almost all of them, that's what they were doing. They were either doing FIFA or they were doing some sort of gaming.
Now Roman.
Oh, yes, Roman.
He was making
talk about
a
old
six-wheeled
Tyrell.
Tyrell Elf Tyrell.
Yeah,
that's what
that
he
was
doing.
Pretty cool.
Little model.
Yep, good old 124.
And Hamilton was bowling.
Hamilton, what did he say he was going
to
do?
He was going
to
go back.
Well,
to Tokyo.
Well, he was going to go to Tokyo. To go
and
see
they were like, "Hello,
it was a space exhibition.
You can't go there.
No,
the same hurricane that's hitting here is hitting there. Yeah.
Talking of which,
typhoon.
As well as that same week, Formula One week, taking a group mainly from Toro Rosso, but as Formula One as well, to NASA. Looking forward to that. Exciting times at NASA, and hopefully we're going to get the old Gasly down and the old Kvyat.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, one other thing that we've got going on. Always try to keep you up with the cool things to do. You've heard us and our buddy Will Buxton talking about his book that's been released. Winding Road Racing in North Austin is hosting a book signing event. Will be there. We will also be there as well. So if you're not into gaming.
What day before the Grand Prix?
That is Wednesday, the 30th.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, get here in time for that. Either evening, you've got something cool to go to on Wednesday, whether you're downtown or you're up north. It's going to be a lot of fun. Will is always entertaining to see.
Hey, if you're still awake, call us up. Tell us if you're coming to Austin and you're still awake.
Come on, because you haven't got many people to talk to. So you may as well talk to us.
Yeah, that's right. 512-643-5483. Give us a call. We just got another segment in the show left. But yeah, we want to hear from you, especially if you're coming to Austin. What else happened in the race today that we want to talk about? Look, Carlos Sainz, Alexander
great
Albon.
Great result for Alexander Albon and Carlos Sainz. Albon especially, he'd never been here before. He qualified with exactly the same time as Verstappen, which I found pretty impressive. But talk about, I mean, Honda at home, Red Bull, their first home Grand Prix with Red Bull, and Albon flew the flag. I mean, obviously they couldn't do anything about Verstappen going out. And Verstappen would have definitely been a factor. But, I mean, what could have been? I mean, Albon, really, really good showing, I thought.
Heck, yeah. I mean, I think that's his best.
Yeah,
I'm assuming.
Yeah,
it is. Fourth place.
I'm still convinced we've yet to see the best that he's got. You know, Cal posted up a message on Facebook. Getting back to the broken wing of Leclerc, he said, didn't Rosberg catch a DQ or a penalty for running with a wing dragging a couple of years ago? You know,
did,
I vaguely remember something of that. I can't remember which race it was. That's a good call. I think in this situation, a DQ with a disc.
It's the lack of consistency is it what does my head in. You know, one week it's fine, next week it's not. The judgment calls are just not consistency. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the answer is.
No,
but
that's exactly what
I think the result of this today, that piece going off and hitting Hamilton's mirror. I think that was a near miss
by all means,
but I think it's an exclamation point. We need to step up our enforcement around this.
But I think that's the point, is that incident alone, so there was three other cars involved in that incident. And what I mean by that is you've got Verstappen going out, you've got Hamilton getting hit, and you've got Norris basically brakes going up in flames because he's got debris in them. So
yeah, I'm going to say...
Debris?
That too.
Are you frustrated by that?
He's very frustrated.
I'll bloody come over there and I'll sort you out. It may be bloody 3 a.m, but I will come and sort you out, son. All of your six, three of you.
there you go.
Exactly.
You go. Called out. Good point. I think, you know, the mix of safety and the impact on the race itself, the strategy. Both items were approached.
Max Verstappen said after the race in the TV pen.
Is he called up?
He's on the line. He said, I don't know what's going on with the rules today. Basically the same thing. It's like, let's get some consistency. Where are we? What's going to happen? I think there was that lull we had at the French Grand Prix at Paul Ricard, that the stewards at FOM were saying, we got to do something to make this more exciting. And ever since then, every race has been fantastic, but or at least really good.
I'm going to say I still think one of the things, tires with shorter lifespans. Add to the strategy, add another pit stop to the race.
That and sprinklers.
Hey, sprinklers,
Hey, I just saw an official message from the FIA on Vettel, the jump start. It says, while the video shows the movement, some movement, that movement was within the acceptable tolerance in the F1 jump start system, which formally defines a jump start per article, blah, 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 of the F1 sporting regulations. So officially, that's the...
They agree with us.
Yeah, officially they agree.
They left our name out.
But... Yeah. What else from today's race? Lance Stroll? Oh, you know what? We have a little clip here of Valtteri Bottas' team radio after the win. Let's hear it, because it's pretty exciting. You don't hear Bottas this way. Let's hear that.
A yellow flag after the finish line. Yes, Valtteri, you're the man. Well done. Yes!
Missed the feeling, guys.
Kitos. So, go HPP3, set position 14.
That's cool.
Valtteri Bottas pretty excited.
You know, Valtteri, I mean, he's nice when we come across him in the paddock.
Oh, he's a lovely man.
One of the things that I thought was really cool is Montreal this year, before the race on race day, I'm walking in and I'm actually walking down in front of the Royal Box on my way back to the media center. And I look up and I recognize Valtteri running down the street, jogging out for his morning jog.
And you went, hey, Ham.
I actually did not. Yeah,
he said, hey, Gunther, I mean,
Lindsay, don't lie to me. By American skier. Hey, Lindsay.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, hi, Lindsay. Oh, sorry, Bottas.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
So,
you'll never go to a race again.
To explain to anybody who didn't know, Les was on the grid at Monaco.
He had a great time.
Yeah, it was amazing, actually, talking to Lindsay Vonn. But we called, he saw Gunther, and he
has
said,
has she
hey.
Written yet? She's nothing?
Oh, we're getting back together here in 3 weeks.
Good.
You and your wife and her?
Yeah. The knots on the right will be from my wife. The knots on the left from Lindsay. There you go. But anyway, Bottas stopped from his jogging, took a quick selfie with a couple of the fans that were walking along not far from me. And it was really neat to see him stop instead of just keep his head down and blast through. And I thought that was just really genuine and...
He's a humble guy.
Not really something that a lot of them would do in the midst of their exercise routine in the morning.
Yeah, I like him. And I also am glad that he has matured as a more aggressive driver, because he needed to be. I thought when he first joined, I mean, obviously, you know, again, it's the toughest job in motorsport. If you don't want to be Verstappen's teammate, oh, let's be Lewis's. I mean, really, those are the two toughest jobs. And so you can be psychologically beaten by Hamilton before any race starts. And I think when he first came to Mercedes, it was Hamilton's team and it is Hamilton's team. But he's found his way now. And I mean, you saw from the reaction today, you know, he can fight his corner now. He's not as good as Hamilton yet, but he's getting there in the same equipment.
What they say, Bottas 2.0.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, guys, let's take our last break, and we'll continue the Formula One discussion after this. Listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company, born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Hi, I'm Wayne Rainey, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, boys, I was
my boss.
Oh, Wayne Rainey? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just looking. Let's see how the Haas team. Let's see. Scrolling. Ah, there they are. Grosjean 15th.
Yeah.
Magnussen 17th. If they had four more laps, they could have made it all the way to the bottom.
I can make that joke.
I've been banging the Haas drum. Y'all know I'm a huge fan and I want them to do well, but man, not been a good year. Not been a good year.
But
at least the producer liked it.
But I will say this, and I did put that up for a discussion, and I'd still be interested over the next few weeks and leading up to Austin. I'm pleased with the decision, my personal opinion. That Gene Haas and Gunther Steiner have kept both Roman and Magnussen. I think consistency is the key for this team now. Messing about with it and bringing somebody in isn't going to solve the problem that they've had. It's not the driver's fault. They've had a design fault with getting grip and mechanical grip out of those tires. Today showed it up more than ever because of the track and the degradation. I think they suffered. I haven't heard yet, but I think that's probably what was going on with them because they did go backwards.
It's been going all year.
Sure.
So,
you know. Well, I think Grosjean earned his stripes when he was telling them go back to the Australian car and let's start over with that, which we knew worked and ran well.
Yeah.
I think when they did it and he showed an immediate response and an improvement, I think they realized he was in tune from an engineering aspect with the car and driver that, you threw too many changes at this. Let's back up to a known spot and let's start progressing a little more controlled, less.
It's the biggest mistake you can make in motor racing is to go too far, too far one direction or another, because you've got to get back to that point. And if you start tinkering with everything, suddenly, what made that better then?
You don't know what or worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You lost the data and don't know where to go from there. But
again, consistency. I mean, we talk about consistency with the rules and the cars. Got to do it methodically and predictably.
Man, the Williams cars just. I mean, we think Haas is having a bad year. Woo.
Yeah, it's
that was ugly.
Yeah, it's not
ugly,
good.
Ugly. Well, look. Why don't I think we've covered everything there is to cover on the Japanese Grand Prix, or at least what we can think of it. 2:45 in the morning.
Domo arigato.
What do we got? Mexico next.
2 weeks.
And then here in Austin. So
yep.
Mexico in 2 weeks. That's right. We got the week off. And yeah, don't forget, we continue to do our radio show on off weeks here in Austin. So go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and find out how to listen there.
Let's talk a little bit about Austin itself. We've got Formula One, and obviously we've got Formula Four. We mentioned it earlier. I've been following it all season. Some really exciting young talent coming through from the FIA Formula Four and Formula Three American Championships. Really, really excited, actually. In Formula Four, we've got a young Australian champion in Josh Carr, and Dakota Dickerson has won the F3 Championship, following in the footsteps of Kyle Kirkwood, who's just going from strength to strength. It looks as though Kirkwood's now going on to Indy Lights. So we've got some talent coming up through America's ranks. Now, they may go to Indy, they may go to Formula One, but the FIA points that they're scoring go towards a super license, which is exciting news.
Yeah. I mean, that's been a fun one for, I know you're involved, you're doing the commentary for those guys, but it's been fun to watch because there's some great talent. Yeah, there's some really good talent there, and you know, we always talk about where's the next American driver.
And don't forget Pat O'Ward, our own San Antonio fellow who disappeared from our radar a little bit, is currently beating the tracks around Japan himself as a Red Bull junior in the Super Formula Championship. So, you know, you talk about where's the next Red Bull guy coming from and the junior program, the next Toro Rosso driver, if Gasly or Kvyat don't keep their, you know, head down, as it were, could well be Pat O'Ward from Mexico.
Fantastic.
Yep. Hey, Patricio O'Ward.
Yeah, you know, it's always great to see those guys, but honestly, I kind of like going to the other end of the spectrum and seeing the old guys and the old cars out on grid. I am excited to say that the historic Grand Prix will be back. I think Bob Constanduras and I may be calling that together. Fantastic population of vintage F1 cars. Always cool. It is these guys really do get out and run them hard.
It's called like a Masters Historic or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just a fantastic series to see some history there. The good thing about that is you can actually go on back to the secondary paddock back by the bridge and go visit those paddocks and get a close-up view of these cars.
Well, we got an eyelid full of them last weekend at the Circuit of the Americas with Trans Am and SVRA.
An eyelid full. I like that.
You like that?
I'm going to use that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, SVRA last weekend at COTA. That was awesome. Fun, man. That was amazing. I loved it. I may have said this last week, but I was talking to one of the guys at one of the ticket brokers, and he said tickets for COTA are selling really well. And those guys are always negative about, because you know they're always about football, you know, Longhorn. But they were saying that the tickets were selling very well. And I was just looking at COTA's website right now, and
two big bands too, as well, Pink and Imagine Dragons. So,
but there's some tickets that are sold out, like the 3-day Flex Pass, the Haas Team Experience are sold out. So. It looks like it could be big.
We can just keep
the hurricanes out of here.
Brad Gorman just made another good point on Facebook, and it's something we haven't really mentioned. Racing Point are looking really good.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking like the Force India of old, and he's right, because I was worried that when Lawrence Stroll bought the team, that they might actually not have the impetus.
Yeah.
Remember that they went through quite a changeover. And you know, that's how Ocon, you know, remember the Ocon Perez year where they were fighting each other.
Crashing
into each other.
Right.
It got a little bit out of hand, but they were competitive. Mm-hmm. Both of them really good drivers, and Perez was being pushed by Ocon. And I think Ocon will do the same again next year when he comes back. But what's amazed me is that Stroll and Perez have both been really competitive. We never doubted Perez, but like I said to you earlier today, I'm eating a bit of humble pie on Lance Stroll. He is driving really well.
Yeah, yeah. You and your partner Les have been banging on Lance Stroll, but
waiting on Daddy to do something about that.
But yeah,
no, he's performing.
Lando Norris just tweeted after the race. He says, "Bleh." I think that's what he tweeted. That's all he tweeted.
How do you spell that?
B-L-E-R-R-G-H. Bleh. I don't know. But anyway, I guess that's his feeling about the race today.
That's a quote.
Hey, speaking of tweets.
I didn't know he spoke Japanese.
Maybe that was his translation.
Yeah, I agree. Cal just put it on Facebook. Hopefully the same can happen with Williams soon. It's hard seeing where they've ended up. You know,
Williams,
I agree.
Williams need money.
They need money.
They've always had.
In Formula One, they need money?
Well, I mean, real money. Yeah. I mean, it's just.
Okay, so let's go down that path a little further. What?
I haven't got any.
Can we do?
you've only got 3 minutes to go down that path.
Okay, go.
What can be done?
What are your thoughts, Les?
What can be done to improve these teams at the back of the grid with such a small budget? to help them out, short of giving them more money? What would you change about the weekend?
Sprinklers.
I quite like the idea of a qualifying race.
Really, I kind of go the opposite way of saying reduced by one free practice.
Ah, sprinklers.
I want water cannons.
T-shirt cannons.
These 3 a.m. shows are some of my favorites.
Thank you, Cal Quinn. Thank you, Brad Gorman, for keeping us awake and staying with us.
Yeah, thanks for everybody.
And Andy P. We love you.
Kevin Kelly.
Please tune in and stay with us. We'll be back at Mexico at a far more reasonable time.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Well, for this side of the world.
Hey!
Careful, that'll be fajitas tomorrow.
Yeah, but I want to thank everybody. We had, let's see, there's Daryl. I can't say his last name. Andy P, Daryl, Kevin Kelly, everybody on Twitter.
My mom.
Oh, here's a good tweet. Where is it? Paul Bryan said, what did he tweet? He says, hey, by the way, who the heck puts Japan on the calendar every year during monsoon season?
Well, that is a good point.
But he says maybe it's whoever has the raincoat franchise at Suzuka.
Could be.
but it is a valid point, you know. And,
I want the umbrella Hong Kong franchise too.
Yeah.
Too soon?
Too soon. We're almost out of time. Let me do the obligatory stuff. If you like what we do, tell somebody. Go on.
Postface.
Postface, FaceTube, or whatever.
Insta thing.
Well, even better. We have all our shows. TikTok. Everything live goes to a podcast, which goes on to iTunes and Stitcher and Google and every possible platform.
Stitcher? Do you swipe right?
I don't know. I don't remember. But go on there. Give us a good review. Give us some
dating apps,
stars or whatever you do for each platform. And, of course, we do have, in between every Formula One race, we still do our regular Sunday night show. So check that out. Go to speedcitybroadcast.com. And guess what? We're getting a new facelift to our website. Coming up before.
Swipe to the left? No.
Do we get one too?
No, we don't get a facelift. The website is getting a facelift. We're getting a new website. All right, the producer's looking at me going, y'all are worthless now. You might as well stop.
Yeah. He's just going to run a long promo.
He's turned out the lights.
And roll the titles.
All right, thanks everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Happy trails.
Ciao, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.